Merry Christmas. It's a joyous time of year. And like we said last week, I'll say it again this week. I don't know what, when the terms Christmas or gifts or memories or family are mentioned to you this time of year, I don't know what drums up out of your heart and out of your emotions. I know what comes up in mine, but I don't know necessarily what comes up in yours. I don't know if the most wonderful memories in the world come up for you, or the most painful memories in the world come up for you, or somewhere in between, or you say, you know what, Christmas is Christmas, I'm over it, apathetic. We have been given the great hope of Jesus Christ, and it is a truly joyous time of year. And so, Southwinds, that's why we sing songs about joy, unspeakable joy. Oh, come, let us adore him, that we want to follow the example of the shepherds and the wise men and even the animals around the stable nearly 2,000 years ago. Because there was something special about that baby that was born to that seemingly insignificant, that seemingly no, they held no significance. This couple who were married and yet supposedly didn't know each other intimately, and yet she's 9 months pregnant. A couple who had to travel a long distance to be counted in a census that was appointed by this, you might call him a pagan king, emperor. They traveled all this way by donkey. The circumstances were not great. You know, any of you ladies here who have carried children, they say 9 months, but to me, 40 weeks is not 9 months, okay? You've carried these children, and in those last stages of your pregnancy, was it the most comfortable stage in the world? I can't say the answer, okay? I've never done this. Watching my wife and watching others, it doesn't seem like the most comfortable stage in the world. You're uncomfortable, you can't sleep, you toss and you turn. This is Mary. It's not a great circumstance. They're not circumstances they would have chosen. They try to go find somewhere to sleep. Joseph is doing the best he can for his bride, who's carrying this very special baby. He's trying to find a place for them to sleep, but everybody's there in town for the census, and so there's no room anywhere, so they get put up in a stable. They get put up with the sheep and the donkeys and the cattle, right? The cattle are lowing. They get put up, at least they had a roof over their head. There's straw. We don't know if it was fresh straw, but there's straw out there. There's a little bit of warmth. And I can testify, and Rachel can testify, that even in a place like Israel, that we think of as desert and hot, it can get very cold there. It's been a long time since I've been as cold as I was in Israel because I didn't dress for the proper weather in March. Circumstances aren't what they desired them to be. And yet to this seemingly insignificant couple is born a very, very, very special baby that was wrapped in insignificant cloths. They didn't have gold laces through them. They were just the cleanest cloths they could find, they could provide. The freshest straw they could find put in a manger. The French word manger, to eat, where the animals ate. They put their baby boy in a manger. Angels are appearing to shepherds in fields not that far away. Angels are singing. The shepherds are frightened to death, and the angels are saying, "We bring you great, great news. We bring you news of great joy." And they tell these shepherds where to go. Later on, these wise men that we talked about last week, they've been looking and looking and looking for literally hundreds of years. Some of the faithful wise men have been looking for this sign. And they finally see the sign that God wrote in the stars. And they begin their journey a long way from the east to find the Savior of the world who's been born for us. And so when we talk about three gifts, it's an important three gifts. Last week, we talked about these wise men that traveled, and we don't know if there was three of them. We, as history goes, as tradition goes, we say there were three wise men because they brought three gifts. These wise men show up and they give this seemingly insignificant baby to the rest of the world, born in very insignificant circumstances, to very insignificant parents, again, to the rest of the world, but not to God. They lay these gifts at his feet and they worship him in Matthew 2, verse 11. And these gifts are gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And last week we talked about gold is a gift fit for a king, that Jesus came into this world to usher in his kingdom. And Jesus spent his earthly ministry talking about his kingdom, his Father's kingdom. And these wise men saw that, you know what, this baby born to insignificant parents in an insignificant place with really not the most comfortable circumstances, he's not so insignificant. His parents are not so insignificant. God wrote this in the stars. This is the king of the world given to us today. Gold. Frankincense. Frankincense, a gift fit for a priest. And in this case, a gift fit for the high priest. Frankincense. And then myrrh. A spice, a gift fit for some, a gift fit for burial. And in the case of Jesus, the one that the angel from God told Joseph and Mary to name Jesus, a derivative of Joshua or Yeshua, Savior. He would give his life for all mankind. He would give his life for you and for me, for our neighbors, for our coworkers, for our friends, for our family. He gave his life for us. Today we talk about frankincense. And frankincense, another term that you might see in, if you read a different translation, you might see the term incense. Okay? Frankincense being a really high quality level of incense. And you can use that, you can use them almost interchangeably. Why frankincense? Why is this so important? Well, one of the things that I think it would be good for us to take a look at is, what was it used for back in the day? And some still use it today. We don't use it today. One, we're not allowed to have an open flame here, okay? And it's not really part of our tradition in our family of churches, okay? But there are churches today who still use incense. And so this gift that was fit for a priest or fit for a high priest, I'd love for us to look at what did they use it for, and what might that give us an idea of where Jesus is going, where these wise men knew, why they knew to bring the gift of frankincense, why it would be important for them to give that gift. So if you want to turn, we looked at Matthew chapter 2 last week, verses 1 to 12 or 1 to 11, and that's going to still be our jumping off point today, but we're going to be in the book of Hebrews today. So if you have your Bible and you'd like to turn to the book of Hebrews, you can do that. It's almost all the way to the back of your Bible. Now, Braden, there's a picture right next to the title slide here. Thank you. That's great. This is a very, very, very simple diagram of the temple layout. Okay? And the temple is where the priests serve. That's where they perform their priestly duties. This is where the people of God would gather to worship in the time before Jesus, in the time before his death, his resurrection, and ascension into heaven. This is where the Jewish people gathered. And this is, again, a really simple diagram. There's more to it than this, but bear with me on this, okay? Now, the priests, they were the ones that would take coals from the burnt offering altar that you see right there, that arrow pointing right there, the little squares. They would take coals from an offering that was given, and they would take it and they would put it inside this nave. They would put these coals down. It was one guy's job to clean up the coals from the last time, another guy's job to put new coals down, and another guy's job to bring in the incense to lay on top of those coals so that when those coals burned up the incense, and it's harvested from this particular plant. And when you chop this particular plant open, and it begins to bleed out this stuff that when it dries up, you can put it over, and it has, anyway, it's called incense, okay? And when you put it over heat, it smokes. And this was really an honor for a priest to be able to be the one to go and to put the incense over the coals. Because when the priest did that, it signified the prayers of the people being offered up to God. And at this time, at the very same time, there are people all outside the place where the people couldn't go, only the priest could go. And when the smoke is going up and these prayers are being offered, he was an intermediary for the people. Okay? He was praying on behalf of the people. And you needed the priest to do that. The priest needed to go to God on behalf of the people. And then there was the high priest. And the high priest was the only one permitted to go into the place called the Holy of Holies. This was through a very kind of thick curtain. And he would offer gift and sacrifice. He would put incense on top of coals, again, so that smoke would rise up and go. And it would represent the prayers of the people going up to the one true living God. And he would also sprinkle blood of a bullock, okay? It's a cow. And he would offer sacrifice for himself and his family, and then he would offer sacrifice on behalf of the people of Israel. Again, you won't see that at Southwinds Church. You can breathe a sigh of relief. This is the worship that God put in place, because when we chose as people, when Adam and Eve chose to sin against God, to eat a fruit of the tree that he told them not to eat, when sin entered the world, it broke relationship with God. And God gave to Moses in Exodus, God gave to Moses this whole process. This way of worshiping him and of achieving right standing with him once again. And the priest needed to intercede on behalf of the people. Now, Braden, let's go back to the title slide if we could, please. Thank you. Why in the world are we going to look at a diagram like that? Why? Okay, great history lesson, Bo. What significance, maybe it's not even a great history lesson, but what significance does this play? Why does this matter for me in Christmas, okay? I've got shopping to do. My kids are, it's lunchtime soon. Like, we need to wrap it up, preacher man, you know? Like, why the history lesson? We got to understand where we've come from in order to know where we're going. We got to understand where we've come from in order to know why was it significant? Why did we record what the wise men gave to this baby wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger? Why would we record that? Let me give you a little visual here. Anyone remember maybe one time when you were in a store with your parent and you were walking around, and maybe you're visualizing as a parent and your child is with you, maybe you're visualizing as when you were a child with your parent, but you're walking around and you're not paying attention. Say you're in the grocery store, you're not paying attention, and you're looking at all the cookies, and mom has since gone down the aisle and she's told you 6 times, you better come with me, I'm leaving, you better come with me, I'm leaving, you better come with me, I'm leaving, right? If you're a parent, you've said this. The child isn't paying attention. Before they know it, they look up and mom's gone. And you're panicked. And so that child is looking for mom, and they get to the end of the aisle, and mom knows mom hasn't gone far, right? But they get to the end of the aisle and they can see a shadow of a person. They think, oh, good, there she is. And they turn the corner, and there's nothing better than when that shadow turns out to, in fact, be your mom. But what's more comforting to that child? Is it the shadow or is it mom? What's more comforting? Not a hard question. Mom. Mom is the most comforting thing for that child, because that child knows their salvation in mom, knows that my mom can show me where I need to go. I won't not pay attention again. Let's take that visual into where we're going in Hebrews. We pick up in Hebrews chapter 7. This visual is really important for us today because as we look at this, frankincense was a gift fit for a priest. It's a gift fit for a high priest. Incense was put on the altar so that they could intercede on behalf of God's people, those that belong to God. So that when that smoke went up, the people's prayers could be heard. So they could receive forgiveness for their sin. The blood that he sprinkled at the altar in the Holy of Holies. He interceded on their behalf. And yet he had to do it every single year. Every single year. The reason why it's significant for us to pay attention to the gifts of the wise men is because with the birth of this little baby to seemingly insignificant parents in a seemingly insignificant place is because this was a once and for all intermediary. He intercedes on our behalf once and for all. It's done. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. And this is the writer of Hebrews talking about a high priest. And he's been talking about a high priest for a couple chapters here, okay? But we're catching up in the story. And he describes the high priest as this: "For this is the kind of high priest we need, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He doesn't need to offer sacrifices every day as high priests do, first for their own sins, then for those of the people. He did this once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the promise of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son who has been perfected forever." Not just the son of Mary and Joseph, but the son of the Most High God. This is why it's significant for us to look at that image of a little child looking for mom, sees the shadow, and then finds mom. Read on with me, chapter 8, starting in verse 1. "Now the main point of what is being said is this. We have this kind of high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle, which the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it was necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he wouldn't be a priest, since there are those offering the gifts prescribed by the law. These serve as a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was warned when he was about to complete the tabernacle, for he said, 'Be careful that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown to you on the mountain.'" What in the world does this all mean? Let me start with verse 5 in chapter 8. The writer of Hebrews says, "These serve as a copy and shadow of the heavenly things." God gave Moses the order of things. In Exodus, that's where that quote is from at the end of verse 5. Do everything as it's been laid out for you. You see, when God gave Moses this order of things, he didn't just come up with it on a whim. God knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that the whole priestly order was a shadow of the one true high priest that God would send into the world one day. It was a shadow, and it was a good thing. Like the shadow of mom is a good thing because the shadow means that mom is there, right? The light source is casting a shadow from mom. It's a good thing. But it was only a shadow. Why is it important for us to take a look at the frankincense, the gift of the wise men? It's important because it signified the high priest that was going to intercede on behalf of all people for all time had arrived. That it's no longer mom's shadow, it's mom. It's no longer the shadow of God, this is God arriving on the scene. Now, God is everywhere. It doesn't mean that God was void of the world, okay? But he sent his high priest. He sent the one that in Psalm 110, verse 4, it's prophesied that he was sent by the oath of the one true living God. You want to look it up later, Psalm 110, verse 4. You can read all of Psalm 110. Psalm 110, verse 4. This Savior, if we go back to Hebrews 7, starting in verse 26, this is the kind of high priest that is needed, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He doesn't need to offer sacrifices every day as the high priests do. For first, their own sins, and for those of the people, he did this once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the promise of the oath, Psalm 110 verse 4, which came after the law, appoints a son who has been perfected forever. You see, Jesus is exactly the high priest that we need. And again, when we even say the word high priest, I don't know that it resonates a lot within us because in our culture, we don't deal with high priests. You don't come to South Winds every Sunday and hear a message from the high priest. You don't pray for the high priest as he goes through the Holy of Holies to offer incense and sacrifices on your behalf and my behalf. But I'm telling you, coming from God's very word, I think that term high priest should resonate within us because he intercedes on our behalf. Let me give you five things. He is sinless. He is the sacrifice. You know that there's no high priest in history before the time of Jesus that went into that Holy of Holies that didn't have to first offer sacrifice for himself and his family. Nobody could do that. Secondly, that high priest, the thought never entered his mind that he might be the sacrifice. There was only one that could do that, and only one that did that. There was only one that was sinless, only one that could give himself as the sacrifice. The one who, as a baby, had these wise men travel from way far east, arrive at his doorstep, come and as a baby, as perhaps even a toddler by this point, lay these gifts at his feet and worship him. He's sinless, he's the sacrifice, and he's once and for all. Every work of God's grace in history before the sacrifice of Christ looked forward to the death of Christ for its foundation. And every work of God's grace since the sacrifice of Christ looks back to the death of Christ for its foundation. This little baby is our high priest. And it's on him that everything else is founded. The fourth thing is that he was not appointed by law. He was appointed by divine oath as a perfect son. As the perfect son. Again, Psalm 110, verse 4. And the last thing about this little baby born to seemingly insignificant people in a seemingly insignificant place in very insignificant circumstances is that his ministry is forever. No high priest before him had ever served forever. There was a limit on their service because one day they stopped breathing. Their heart stopped beating. And you know what the other limit for them was? They weren't God. This little baby is God in flesh. His ministry is forever. Jesus never dies. He never has to be replaced. He has an indestructible life. He will outlive us. He will outlive all his foes. He will be there for us long after everyone we depend on is dead. Sometimes children, just like that little one in the store, they are scared that mom and dad aren't going to be around forever. They're scared that they lose mom and dad. Sometimes mom and dad get scared that they lose their little one. Any parent, don't show me by hand, but any parent here, ever had that panicky feeling in a store or in a crowd? Terrible feeling. Sometimes parents fret that they won't be around long enough to care for their children. Not just that they're going to lose them in a crowd, that something's going to happen to me and I won't be able to care for my children. There's comfort here, South Winds Church. There's solace here. His ministry is forever. There is one that is always here, always there. It's forever. The main point of it all is that one priest who goes between us and God and makes us right with God and prays for us to God is not an ordinary, weak, sinful, dying priest like in the Old Testament days. He is the Son of God. He is strong. He is sinless. He has an indestructible life. Yes, Jesus went to a cross and he gave his life, but he gave it. No one could take it. Why is it important for us to look at these three gifts? Because these three gifts represent the one that we worship every single day of our life. The one that intercedes on our behalf. The one that gives us right standing with God so we can approach him in prayer. So he actually hears our prayer. So he actually hears our voices when we sing to him. Now again, it's not that God couldn't hear us, like he was somehow hard of hearing. But Jesus brought us over a chasm. He brought us out of a debt that we can never pay ourselves. So Southwinds, let me ask you, if this is the final ultimate reality, that God and his Son interacting in love and holiness for our eternal salvation through the giving of his Son, that we must recognize that we have a high priest. In a world like we live in North America, it may be hard to remember, but we have a high priest that intercedes on our behalf. He relates with us. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16 talk about a high priest that was sent that can relate to us because he was sent as a baby and he grew up in this world. He relates to us. He is sinless. He is our sacrifice. He is once and for all. He is the one given the office by divine oath. He is here. This is why we remember the gifts of wise men. We have been given the high priest. Am I running to him or to the shadow? Am I depending on him or on those that I can see and feel? When I face that moment of truth, do I turn to Jesus, my high priest, my intercessor, my intermediary? Or do I look for those that... Do I depend on the people around me who can't be there in every given situation? But he can. I asked the question last week. I'm going to ask it again this week. Is today the day that you would give your life to the King and to the High Priest who intercedes on your behalf and on my behalf and on behalf of the whole world? Is today the day?